Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today we have a special guest in studio with us. He is Brent Johnson, who is the Greene County Assessor.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks
for coming.
Yeah, we're excited to talk about assessment.
Oh, well, assessment is the exciting world of assessments.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And critical to our infrastructure and all those things. We're going to get into that. Where do your assessments go? What does the assessor do? We're going to do all that today. But first, let our listeners know a little bit about you and your background.
Sure, yeah. So I grew up here in Springfield, went to school, public school here in Springfield, went to Missouri State, at the time was SMSU. My background is in cartographic and geospatial sciences.
Okay. Yeah. And
And I went on to work in the public sector. I worked for the city of Branson. I worked for the city of Kansas City, Missouri. And then I got married to my wife. We ended up in Florida for her residency in medical. Okay. And worked for Sarasota County, Florida there. Then I went to the private sector doing the same thing, GIS, geospatial, demographics. End up working for numerous companies throughout the country, traveled a lot, went around the world. I got to do a lot of consulting jobs, and then kind of stepped back to be a stay-at-home dad for a little while, and then we had moved back to Springfield by then, and then O'Reilly Auto Parts gave me a call and said, hey, come help us with analytical modeling and demographics to help do, look at real estate for store replacements and those type of things. So I did that for about 3 years, and then I stepped back again from working, and then somebody said, hey, why don't you run for assessor? So that's what I did, and here I am.
That's awesome. And how many years have you been our assessor in Greene County?
So I was first elected in 2020, and then you don't take office until the following September.
Okay.
And so I've been the assessor since September 1st of 21.
Okay.
And just went through re-election in 24. So
okay. My
first term hasn't even ended yet, and I've already been re-elected for a second term.
Okay.
So Great. It's a four-year term.
Four-year term.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Good to know.
So what exactly does an assessor do?
We do a lot. But no, the assessor's job by statute is to place value on real estate property, real property. I mean, it's supposed to be the market value every 2 years on the first day of the odd year. January 1st of an odd year for ad valorem taxing purposes, as well as we do personal property, which is your vehicles and your boats and those type of things, for both individuals and for businesses. Businesses have personal property as well. And then in addition to that, we also take care of the actual mapping, which shows the mapping for taxing purposes, your parcels and where the boundaries are, those type of things, and ownership on the maps. And then we also handle things such as exemptions. A lot of the economic development tools the cities and counties use, we have to keep track of all those and when they expire and all those type of things.
Okay. All right.
So what is the most basic information that a homeowner, let's go real estate,
sure,
needs to know about their property assessment?
Okay. Yeah. So the basic information is that we do mass appraisal. So it's not like, say, a fee appraisal. When you're buying a home, you go out and get an appraiser, they do a fee appraisal, it's really detailed. It talks about things inside your home, outside your home. We do mass appraisal for taxing purposes. So what that looks at is kind of like a fee appraisal, but not all the components of a fee appraisal goes into the actual mass appraisal process. We still gather information like what your interior home has, like if it's got, you know, a laminate floor or carpet, those are based on what we have information on. And we ask for those things too to update our data system. But it's basically based on the exterior home, how it looks, the property, the size of your property, your lot. And then we put it through a system which is called mass appraisal. And so it's an algorithm that comes up with based on like type structures based on the information that we have. And so when it comes to residential property, we don't get sales data, and so we only get limited amounts of sales data from what places we can get it from, mm-hmm. as well as what cost its replacement cost. So if you're going to replace that structure, those type of things. So that algorithm takes effect of all that. Then we look at things such as appreciation, effective age, condition, all those type of things. And then it comes out with a value for your property. And so the big thing about what a homeowner should look at is that when they get their change value notice, they can go on our website, they can look up their property, just make sure we have the square footage right or the number of bedrooms right, those type of things, because those could play a factor into that algorithm when it comes up with the value of your home.
Sure.
Now, statute says we got to be at 100% market. You know, we're shooting for something probably around 90% is what our goal is on a good day. It's because we don't have the full true market information. We don't have all the sales information. So it's really hard when you have areas of the county where there's not, we don't have sales information for those areas. So we kind of have to base it off of like type houses in other parts of the county. And then we have to use another formula to change it based on location or those type of things in order to be kind of fair and equitable to everybody.
Yeah. So an example would be a house sitting in Millwood, mm-hmm. and that's part of that's probably Greene County.
Yep.
Versus a property center city in a much older area, you know, built in the maybe 1900s.
Sure.
Those assessments would be totally different because of location, because of age, yep. because of probably size as well.
Size, age, location, as well as just the condition. And also how it was built, the quality of construction at the time of being built.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, you have my house as being high quality. Well, in 1910, when your house was built, that was a high quality home. Mm-hmm. And so the actual grade of your home doesn't ever change. The quality grade of your home, it always stays what it was when it was constructed.
True. Yeah.
The condition's mm-hmm. what changes. You know, have you maintained it? Have you taken care of it? What are the things have you, you know, look at as you're the porch falling in, or is the steps mm-hmm. coming off, those type of things.
Mm-hmm. And are there any real eyes on properties? So if I sit Center City Springfield and I have done lots of renovating to my house, mm-hmm. but my neighbor's porch is falling in and has an original roof from 1950, mm-hmm. are there any eyeballs on that, like real eyeballs yeah. to know my house is probably worth more than my neighbor's house?
Absolutely. So by statute, we're supposed to go out and look at every property every 2 years for reassessment. Wow. Here in Greene County, I started the system back last October for October of 2023 is when we started the reassessment for 25. And so, yes, we send folks out there on the ground. They're taking photographs of the homes. Okay. They're walking the streets, so they take a photograph in the front and both sides of the house. If they have availability, look in the backyard, they look in the backyard. Of course, I don't want to, you know, even though we have the right to actually access property under statute, sure. you know, this day and age, I don't want to really put anybody at risk or right. invading someone's privacy or something like that. So we do our best that we can do in the backyard portion of the home. But they go out, they take photographs, they look at the condition of the home. Mm-hmm. We mark it down. We say, is there issues with the home that we can see from the outside? You know, is there, you know, clearly the gutters are hanging off, or the roof looks bad, or there's cracks in the foundation, those type of things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. How long does that process take?
For each home or for the overall county?
The county.
The county.
Yeah.
Well, so from October of 23 all the way through to about February of 25.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So yeah.
That makes sense
You know, even then, we're not looking a whole lot at the vacant properties, the vacant parcels, it's just right. land. Right. It's just looking at the structures.
Got it.
And so it becomes, it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
I got a great staff that goes out and does that. I have staff who does that, which we call reviews, and we also have staff who handles new construction. So when houses are being built from new construction-wise, we're out there multiple times. So we're out there when they pour the foundation, we measure that. We're out there when they put the studs up, we measure that. So that's how we get most of the information about a home is when it's being constructed.
Got it.
Yeah. So a few things I want to go back to. First of all, you mentioned your staff. So mm-hmm. what does your staff look like? How many do you have, and in what capacities do they serve?
Sure. The overall office, we have 39 staff members, including myself. But for real estate, I have 6 residential appraisers. I have 6 data collectors, which go out and assist the appraisers. They all go out in the field. So that's 12 folks out in the field there. And then I have 3 commercial appraisers. that go out in the field as well. Then I have two supervisors over the real estate department. The remaining part of my staff is I have personal property, which is broken into individual and commercial, and they have two supervisors there, one for the overall department, one for over the commercial things. And then we have administration side of the house and mapping, and the mapping folks take care of mapping, and we have the administration folks take care of, like, myself and my chief deputy, and our executive deputy, which take care of, like, the database systems, those things like that.
Okay. That doesn't sound like much for a county the size of Greene. Yeah. Are you understaffed, or do you have enough people? What does that look like? What would be ideal?
Sure. Well, ideally, you would say, okay, a county based on ours, and we are regulated by, or we're overseen by, the State Tax Commission, mm-hmm. the state of Missouri. So every 2 years, we put together a plan, and part of that plan is a matrix that we put in all this information. And we do take a lot of matrices, like how many phone calls do we get, how many people walk to the door, all that kind of stuff, and how many parcels of property that we have, and the availability of staff. And it comes out, we need about 62 people. Mm-hmm. So I'm lucky to get 39 people right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And for many years, it's been stuck at 31. And so we do the best that we can do based on what staffing-wise and time constraints. And I have to, you know, say I have a great staff who works really, really hard to do the best they can do what we got.
Yeah. Yeah. You've mentioned statute a couple of times, mm-hmm. which is what I want to go back to, because you are not, you don't make the rules.
Correct.
You are governed by state statute,
yes.
much like we are as well. And you mentioned that state statute says we should be at 100%
Correct.
Of value.
Yes.
Now, a couple of years ago, we had a fairly sizable increase because you, as the assessor, are trying to get us more in line with state statute, correct?
Correct.
And now we're at about 90%. Is that what you said? Or your goal is to get us at least to 90?
Our goal is to get to 90. So state statute says 100% market value. Mm-hmm. And so we're playing this game of catch-up, because how assessment works is, for 2023, we're using the previous 2 years of data mm-hmm. that we're going to get those values from. So that's 21 and 22. For 25, we're looking at the previous 2 years of the market there. So when you get to 23, we do the reassessment, and the state comes in and do what they call a ratio study, where they take what the sales values are based on what we have them assessed at or appraised at, and they come up with a value. And so under standards of the International Assessing Officers standards or appraisal practices, you want to be between 90 and 110% of the market value. So that's kind of your grace area, or your way. And so they come to that for every county in the state of Missouri. So in 2023, that was my first reassessment, because the previous assessor did 21's reassessment. So based on the 2021 reassessment was at 85% market rate,
okay.
which is not terrible. We're doing good.
You're close.
We're close, right? Yeah. So the State Tax Commission is like, okay, you need to work on getting closer to market value. So we put in our trying to get raise values to get us up to market value. We raised values. Unfortunately, we went backwards in our ratio because the way the market conditions are. Because the market's increasing so rapidly mm-hmm. based on what the percentage we're increasing by. We're not increasing, say, like at the market increase. We're increasing based on what we need to get to the current market at the time from our data. And so we went from 85% to 77%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're like, whoa, well, how does that happen? Well, it's a lot of statistics, but it does happen because the market does accelerate. Mm-hmm. And right now we're in a market, and you guys sell property, and you know that the prices haven't really come down at all. Yeah. They're still continuing mm-hmm. to go up. Mm-hmm. And so this now reassessment, we're faced with having to, again, increase values to get back closer to market value. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to see us increase values from 77% all the way up to 100%? No, we're not going to do that. But we have to do it based on what the guidance from the State Tax Commission is. And they have come back to us, and there's a 114 counties plus the city of St. Louis, which is an independent city, so there's 115 assessors. Right now, about 90 assessors are all under what they call a memorandum of understanding, which says that we have to get work to get back into compliance, which is at 90 to 110%. And they know that market conditions and staffing constraints and budgetary constraints is an issue there, but they want to say, here, you have to at minimum increase values by XYZ to get to this. And that's what they've put on in about 90 of our counties, including ours. So,
okay.
Yep.
So I live in Christian County.
Yep.
And we just got reassessed, mm-hmm. and everybody got their new assessment value. And I've had multiple clients send me a picture of it. In fact, had one yesterday. And she, you know, said, I don't understand this. How on earth did my taxes go up so much? Well, I think our gut is, you know, our reflex is, I'm going to pay more money.
Sure.
But when she actually then digested, and I gave it a minute before I responded.
Sure.
Because I squeezed in and looked at it, and it only went up $100. And so I think often people just see dollar signs when they open that evaluation.
Yes.
Now, obviously, because our real estate market increased so much, and which is great. People have a lot more equity in their house than they did in 2019. Mm-hmm. But it always, if you have more equity, it comes out in the wash because you're going to pay more taxes, right? So how do you talk people off that ledge? I mean,
we
do it all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm certain that your name tag that you wear is mud sometimes when you walk into the room and people actually know who you are. So how do you deal with that?
Sure, sure. So, you know, the first thing people think is that the assessor sets taxes.
Yeah.
We don't. We have nothing to do with the tax system. We just set the assessed value for ad valorem tax purposes.
Yeah.
But we get the name as being the bad guy because we were the foundation of the taxing system.
Right.
But we try to educate them a little bit, talking a little bit. And it gets kind of complicated because there's the Hancock Amendment that's out there, which then which says that your taxing entities, like your school districts, your fire districts, the county, all those different things, can't increase their levies to basically take that money that's going to be from the increased value. They can't take advantage of the additional assessed value. There is a mark that they have to get to. So it's either 5% or CPI, whatever is lower is what the percentage they can do on top of their budgetary needs, what they can actually take in as additional costs. So we call it levy rollbacks. And so you'll hear that a lot probably this year around the state, levy rollbacks, or they'll roll back the levy. That's based on Hancock. But that's also based on if those districts actually roll back their levies or not. So there's some games that some of them play in different places. I don't think we see that really happening in Greene County, but some of our smaller counties out there, it does kind of come into play. Because in Greene County, when you look at our values, where our taxes are coming from, you know, when it comes to a lot of the municipalities, things like that, majority of their income is coming from sales taxes. The property tax portion is pretty small. Even with the school district, you know, 78% of your tax bill goes to the school districts.
Yeah.
But most of their budget is still coming from other sources of funding, from the state, from the federal government, those type of things.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's still a lot of money, but it's still a small portion of that. But when you get into smaller districts, say if you lived in Dade County or somewhere like that, it becomes a bigger player, property tax does, because more of their money they got to get comes from, say, the property tax portion versus from other sources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when we talk to people, a little bit about, just because your property may went up, say, 12% increase in value, doesn't mean your taxes are going to go up 12%.
Right.
So, and then we don't know what those new levies are going to be until the fall. So I can't really tell you, hey, what the levy's going to be. I usually tell them, take a look at your value now and calculate based on the existing levies what your increase in taxes will be. Get involved with those taxing discussions. All those are publicly held meetings at all those different entities that they have. Go to those meetings and talk. Ask questions. Why are you increasing the levy, or why? What's this money going to? A lot of our citizens don't even understand that it's a process that goes through. They actually have public forums they can go to and talk about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, we kind of talk a little bit about when people come in. The value that I have on your home, is that what you're going to? Would you sell your house for that value in today's market?
Yeah.
And once you say that, they kind of realize a little bit, well, you're not at what market value is.
Yeah. That number, right. Speaking of that, you know, form I got yesterday from a client of mine, that number that she was so fired up about, I said, well, if we sold your house today, we'd sell it for double that number. So really, you're not, you know, you're really getting off easy. And once we kind of talked through all that, she was like, oh, you're right. Okay. Sorry to bother you.
Yeah. And we have a lot of those conversations. And we also, we ask them, you know, they come in, they go, well, what information you have to help us to say that we're overvalued.
Right.
And they'll bring in, and we ask them, can you bring in your sales contract or your loan papers to show what you actually paid for your home? Because that helps us. Because a lot, the biggest misconception is that we take what you bought your home for and that's where we put on the system for it. That's not how that works.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. just goes into an algorithm that helps us determine a broad-based value of your home. So we're not looking, oh, because you bought your house for that, your house goes to that, and everybody else stays the same. That's not how that works.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I think it's probably good for us to say that Missouri is a non-disclosure state. So
correct.
That's you mentioned it a bit ago, but really the information that we have as realtors that go on the MLS, the assessor does not get that information.
No, right.
So you are, as you mentioned earlier, kind of scrambling and picking up pieces of information mm-hmm. from other sources to get that to come across what your
correct.
Value is for your assessments.
Yep. Yep.
So and depending on your people that go out and do these assessments mm-hmm. by statute every 2 years.
Yep.
So Tanya, is this a good time to take a break?
It's a great time to take mm-hmm. a break.
Okay. Here's a word from our sponsors.
Buying or selling a home isn't just a transaction, it's a major life moment. But without the right realtor, it can quickly become overwhelming, stressful, and full of unexpected surprises. A lack of expertise or poor communication can mean missed opportunities, lost money, and unnecessary headaches. Reach out to Tanya Murfin at Southwest Missouri Realty to start your home buying or selling journey.
And we're back.
We're back.
So we were talking about, obviously we're talking to Brent Johnson, Greene County Assessor. We're talking all things assessments. Now, we kind of had started talking about the process. People call your office and they are not happy with what their assessment is. But what is the process? So I should also mention that sometimes these people call us as realtors and they want us to do a CMA because mm-hmm. they want information to take in front of the Board of Equalization
yep.
or to bring to you. So let's talk about what the Board of Equalization is and where how that process goes through if you have a legitimate I don't want to say complaint, but a legitimate concern about what your rate is.
Absolutely. So I'll kind of start first with the whole process, which mm-hmm. you get your value change notice in the mail. It usually comes around sometime in May, maybe June, depending on what county you live in, or even earlier sometimes if a smaller county. And you look at that value and you're not happy with it, or you have a lot of questions about it. The first step is to call the assessor's office. We call it an informal hearing or an informal conversation. That's where we kind of just talk with you, explain the process. What are your concerns? Do you have concerns? And then we usually offer, sometimes I'll say they have a lot of maintenance that hasn't been done to their home, interior-wise, it would drive the value down. And so we offer interior inspections. So if you wanted us to come in and show us that your ceilings are leaking or your floor, you don't have a floor, those type of things, mm-hmm. which do affect value. So we can't see those things from the outside. So we do offer that to them. And so we'll go out and we'll do that and we'll come back and we can adjust those things and put them in. And then so either we can come to an agreement to lower the value based on the things that you provided us, say you had a sales contract or an appraisal, things like that, or we don't come to an agreement. And so if we don't come to an agreement, your option is, and even if you don't talk to us, your option always is to go to the Board of Equalization. And so the Board of Equalization meets in the month of July in the state of Missouri. And in Greene County, we're kind of unique. We have a Board of Equalization that has eight different individuals on it. They're appointed by the county and by the city of Springfield. The city of Springfield appoints five individuals. The county appoints three different individuals. And the goal is to have people on there who are realtors, appraisers, insurance folks, people who have a knowledge of the real estate market. Mm-hmm. And so they have their finger on the market and kind of understand what's happening out there, what's going on. When you do the Board of Equalization, you're offered to come in and give your case to the board, and the board will hear your case, and then the assessor's office will come back, and we have our chance to give our side of the case, and then they deliberate and come up with a decision. And so that board is there to serve as a balance between the assessor's office and the citizens. If you can't come to an agreement, they're also there to help overlook to make sure we're providing fair and equitable assessments across the county. And so when people come in there and they say that the board does say, hey, based on, you know, our experience, this and based on the facts that they give us, because it's based on facts of value, the value needs to be decreased, but they also have the right to increase values as well. Have I seen the board increase values? No, they haven't, but they have the power to do that. And so they either will side with the assessor or side with the property owner. The property owner can then take what the board has given them, or they can then go to the state tax commission, which is the next level up. And that becomes more of a formal process. It's more of an administrative hearing. It's an actual courtroom or virtual courtroom. Mm-hmm. When you get to that level, if your home's in a trust or you have an LLC, you have to have an attorney represent you at that level. So it's no longer representing yourself. But if you're an individual homeowner, you know, not in that, you can represent yourself. The county is represented by legal counsel at that point because we are in a court setting. And then basically they'll schedule you a case in front of a hearing officer or it's kind of like a judge. So, and they'll hear the case. This typically doesn't happen right away. A lot of times they're scheduled 18 months out from when you do this. You still have to pay your taxes. Right. You still have to do all that. You're still required to do that. But, you know, if they rule in your favor, then you can get that difference back from the state. Mm-hmm. It's held in a escrow account by the collector's office. But that process lasts. Those cases can last 15 minutes. I've been in one that lasted like 11 hours. Wow. So,
Yeah. That's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking because, you know, the homeowner, they're encouraged to get an appraisal. They're encouraged to bring in expert witnesses. We have expert witnesses. We have appraisals as well. Mm-hmm. And so then the judge has to take all those facts into consideration. He's taking multiple appraisals. You cross-examine each other. It's just like court.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that, then the judge will then say, okay, well, you'll hear my decision in about 6 to 8 weeks. So they go back and review everything, and they what they call a decision order, and they'll offer that order out. And so when that order comes out, either the assessor's office or the property owner has the right to appeal that order. So the next step is that you go to the state tax commission themselves, which is three individuals, the state tax commission. They'll review the decision order and review the case information from the court case or the administrative hearing case. And make a decision. Either they're going to agree with the judge, right, or they're not going to agree with the judge.
Sure.
When they come up with that decision, you have another option. You can then appeal that decision. And how you do that is you file a case in circuit court. And then from circuit court, same thing, judge reviews it. And if you're not happy, it goes to the appellate court, and it could end up in the Supreme Court.
Wow.
So it's a long trail you can go. But the thing is, how much money are you willing to spend to defend something or try to change something?
Yeah.
You know, because it becomes very expensive very quickly when it gets to the court sides of things. Even for the county, it's expensive on some of them. Since I've been here, one case went to the Supreme Court back in 2021, the end of the year there. That was based on The state reps had put in a law where it says solar farms are exempt from taxes. And I didn't feel that was right.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we singling out a separate kind of energy, that type of thing? So we fought it. It went back and forth between all the way up the appellate system and everything. So the Supreme Court did hear it based on the constitutionality of that statute, what they put in, and found that was unconstitutional, that the state reps cannot single out a separate type of thing to make it exempt. And so they ruled in favor of myself and the assessor's office in Greene County that says that you can't have a solar farm exempt from property taxes. But there's some different options too. Say you didn't go to the BOE. Unfortunately, in Missouri, if you were notified before the July deadline and you didn't go to the BOE, you now no longer have your administrative processes. You can no longer go forward with a case. You have to go through the steps. And so if you don't go that route, you're kind of stuck, except for you do have the right to, when you go to pay your taxes in December, you can pay your taxes in protest, but then you have to file a case with the circuit court within 90 days, which is a court case about your taxes, not about your property value. So a lot of times people say, well, I'm going to file a case about my value. I didn't get to go to the BOE. But the judge is going to tell you that's based on the taxes, not really based on your the valuation portion of that. Yeah. Hmm. But I still encourage folks if they feel like they should do that, they should do that. Sure. That's their right to do that. But another option is, say you had a new constructed home and you didn't move in until after July, because we were in occupancy county, so we put on partial assessments. So you move into your new home in September. That's after the BOE met. You can go directly to the state tax commission. You don't have to go through the other process then, because you bought your home after. And also, if you buy your home within a month of July on either side of it, you have the right to go directly to the STC, because maybe the previous homeowner didn't tell you what the valuation increase was, and right. then you have the right to do it that way. And in Missouri, say you didn't go this year to the BOE, so you missed it or whatever, you have the right to go next year in 2026. But it only will be for the year 2026. The BOE cannot hear things in previous years.
Got it.
It's only the current year that which they're setting in.
Okay.
Does that explain the process?
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot. You have lots of options and opportunities as a homeowner, or the most complicated ones, I'm sure, are commercial.
Commercial is business, really complicated.
That own several properties or whatever. It gets kind of complicated.
Because there, when we get to the commercial properties, it's a little different when it comes to the assessment of those properties, because there's three different methods we can use. We can do the sales approach, the cost approach, or the income approach. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of businesses, they'll come in and people say, well, that property's really overvalued based on our income. And so, you know, so there's all these different approaches when it comes to commercials, a little more complicated than the residential property. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of commercial cases because they don't want to give us their income profit statements. But then they will once we go to, say, state tax commission, something like that. And they, oh, here they are. They get really complicated. And our other big issue that we have is our exemptions. So we handle exemptions for property, and in Missouri, the statutes get pretty gray on exemptions, but there is a test that we do called the Franciscan test, which is, tells us the steps we go through to determine if something is going to be tax exempt from property taxes. Just because someone has a 501c3 doesn't mean their property is automatically tax exempt. Hmm. That exempts them from sales tax and from income tax, but not from property tax. And so it kind of based on what the use of the property is, how it's used for, what's being used, if it's being vacant, or, you know, you could buy, so churches will buy empty lots of land for future development. Those are taxable lots until they actually construct on them. Mm-hmm. Even though the other church is exempt over here, there are lots because it's considered held in an investment, because they may never construct a church there. Mm-hmm. They may end up selling it later on. Mm-hmm. So then really there was really nothing happening there, and the statute kind of says it has to be actively used for the purpose of worship, so really not using vacant lots for that.
Right, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you see any changes coming your way, either statewide or otherwise in our county, in the near future?
To the assessment process, every year they file hundreds of bills on assessment at the state. And the end goal of all those bills they're filing is not about the assessment process, it's about the taxes that result from the assessment process. And I try to educate our legislators about, you're putting a Band-Aid on the issue if you're trying to fix the assessment process. Because in reality, as assessment is tied to so many other things in our community than just, say, taxes. So that assessed valuation there is also when, say, we had that big windstorm on the 29th of April. Well, the first place they go to get values for everything is the assessor's office. Well, how much damage do you think, how much loss do we have? I mean, what's the first place you can find information quickly to get the FEMA in order to start getting federal money back? Mm-hmm. It's the assessor's office. Mm-hmm. Then we also take a look at how counties' salaries are based on for county officials are based on your assessed valuation. So your assessed valuation, there's a chart in statute that says when it's this much, then X, Y, Z, you kick in and all those type of things. Also, a lot of money from the state and different things are all based on assessed valuation. And the class of your county is based on assessed valuation. Hmm. So your first class, second class, third class, fourth class county is all based on your evaluation. So there's a lot of things tied to evaluation. And so when they start trying to put Band-Aids on how we do the assessment process, in reality, they should be looking at how they can revamp the levy process, and the formulas used for the levies really is where it needs to be taken care of. Because if Hancock would work correctly, I could raise your value 100%, but your taxes are not going to go up 100%. They should go up based on whatever that Hancock kicks in, which limits them from having their levy increased by XYZ. So they really need to focus on that side of the house. Now, there's the senior citizen tax credit that came down a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
There's also some other things they've been talking about legislation-wise. But a lot of them, I think, are dead in the water right now just because they're trying to dramatically change the assessment process without really understanding how the process works and how it affects all these other different pieces of government.
Got it.
They could change stuff.
That's interesting.
That's legislators for you.
Sure. Yeah.
They kind of act on things and then they realize, oh, man, it wasn't a good idea.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. We see that a lot. You said there were 113 counties in Missouri, or 114
counties, and then the city of St. Louis is an independent city, which is considered a county.
Okay. And obviously, you all need to do, we talk a lot about advocacy and mm-hmm. lobbying for homeownership rights, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Are you guys, do you have a group, a strong group that is trying to educate lawmakers and lobbying on behalf of assessors?
Yeah, so every assessor is a member of the Missouri State Assessors Association. And so we do have an association. We have a legislative committee. I'm on the legislative committee. And we do go and we try to witness to bills. We try to submit financial impact statements on bills that they're looking at. We try to educate our local reps and our reps in other counties. And the difficult part is that we get a lot of, every 2 years you get a bunch of new reps mm-hmm. in. And they're all gung-ho about tax cuts, but they don't know the process. And and we try to educate them. Sometimes they don't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we do the best that we can do.
Yeah.
You know, we're not always advocating against the property owner either. There's things that we also would like to see changed to benefit the homeowner that, you know, that we think are kind of silly things that are in statutes and things like that that limit us on how we can do our jobs and those type of things. So.
So interesting. Yeah. So, Brent, you're in a big leadership position. We like to talk about leadership on the podcast and hear from other leaders what they've learned. What are some of your biggest takeaways from being the leader in the different leadership roles you've had? You've done so much in your career.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the big things is lead by, you know, you lead by example as a boss, right?
Sure.
And so you want to make sure that when you do something that you listen to your staff when they come back to tell you, maybe that wasn't a good idea, or maybe you made a mistake. And and it's also very hard for somebody in leadership to say, I made a mistake.
Very. You know? It is hard.
It is hard, but that's important to do that because one is listening to your staff. So we have meetings where we come in and I make them part of the process. So when it comes to our budgetary portion of the office, I want their input. We talk about the budget. What are things that you think that we need to purchase in the coming year or whatever and why? We also look at our processes. And a lot of times I let them talk about the processes and say, okay, now let me hear all what you want to talk about the processes and we can either go forward or not forward with that. It's having that open dialogue with your staff. I think it makes you a strong leader, but also gives them investment in what they're doing in their job. And that's important because you want your staff to come in happy every day to work. Mm-hmm. You want them to feel like they're part of the solution and part of the office. And I've really worked hard to do that and try to change the culture in the office at the assessor's office from what it used to be like. We did a lot of renovation work, so it's a modern office. It's not this dark, dingy office. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been honestly, our office hadn't been remodeled. One side wasn't remodeled since 78. The other side wasn't remodeled since 52. So, you know, just modern things, modernize it. Now we have tablets in the field versus they used to take pen and paper, come back, re-enter it. Out in the field with those tablets saves time.
Oh, my gosh,
It makes your life a lot easier, technology. And just those things. And then this listening. The big things about listening to what your employees or your staff has to come to you about. And just listen and try to implement those things the best way that you can. And sometimes you have to tell them it's really can't. We're restricted by statute, or that's not really the best way of doing that. But also understanding that sometimes we make mistakes as leaders, and that we may do something and then realize, well, that wasn't a good idea after all, and be able to say, I was wrong, and let's start over again. So
yeah, that's great advice.
Yeah,
I think we've all learned in leadership positions that everybody just wants to feel valued and appreciated. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like by you coming in and recognizing maybe there was an old culture there that needed to be renovated, I would say you have some happy employees working for you.
Absolutely. And I hope they're great employees. And I have to brag about my employees, other office holders, because I think what my employees truly do enjoy what they do every day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Well, and you have to, when we've already talked about that you don't have the complete staff that you would like to have or should have. And so it's really important that those people that are there stay happy because they could start looking elsewhere.
Correct. Yep. So. Absolutely. It's about keeping and finding staff who wants to be and do a great job and keeping those staff.
Yeah.
And in government, it's hard because in the private sector, you can reward them with, you know, raises and all those types of things. Mm-hmm. We don't have that benefit in the government sector. So we have to do other things to incentivize them and help them in those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Very good. Very good.
Love that.
Well, Brett, you've just given us so much information today. I appreciate you being here and sharing that with us. One thing I do want to say is that we're airing at the end of May. So if you want to object to your assessment, you have until July.
The second Monday in July is the deadline for the Board of Equalization.
Uh-huh.
We try to have everybody at least before the last week of June call our office and talk to us.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those things can be taken care of before it ever gets to the board.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So give them a call.
Great tips.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And we want to thank Gershman for recording with us. Be sure you find us on social media. We're there. Follow us and like us and share this episode with a friend if they want to know more about what their county assessment means.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.